When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. I spent the weekend in Woodruff, South Carolina, where spring is joyously bursting the seams of winter, and the humidity made my curls bounce with a resplendent joy. I was there for the Stone Soup Storytelling Festival as one of the new voices. Being a new voice is one of the best parts of festivals. I get to rub elbows with stunning tellers like Reggie Carpenter, Tony Marr, and Jeff Doyle, but I only have to tell one story. In the food breaks between sessions, I wandered around the town main street, popping in and out of shops. The coffee shop there had an amazing lunch crepe and chai. Then I found my way into a place called Hip Resale, a bright and cheerful consignment shop. I wandered among the dresses and racks of colorful outfits when I noticed the sandals. They were simple but looked comfortable, crisscrossing straps across the top, perfect for summer and easy to pack, both requirements for any sandals I was going to purchase. I checked the size and they were just a little small, but I thought I'd try them on anyway. Slipping off my right shoe and sock, I wiggled the sandal on. A little tight, but not bad. I stepped forward and it felt strange. I walked over to the mirror and saw my right foot was floating about an inch above the ground. The first teller for this episode is Danita Feldman, a storyteller, hypnotherapist, and artist who lives in Colorado. Danny is a member of the Mile High Storyteller Guild, Mile High Polymer Clay Guild, and Daughters of the Dance Dance Revolution. She's been featured on a few of the Nasruddin episodes, and now she comes with a full story, filled with dragons and princesses, in the tale Lady Worm of Spindleson Hugh.
The Laidly Worm of Spindleston Hugh, from Joseph Jacobs' English Fairy Tales, performed by Danita Feldman. Long ago in Bamborough Keep, there lived a king. He had a fair wife, and a son named Child Wind, and a daughter named Margaret. Well, Child Wind decided that he was going to go forth and seek his fortune, and he had not been gone long when the good queen, his mother, had died. Well, the king mourned her long and faithfully. But one day, when he was out hunting, he came upon a woman of such great beauty, he became very much in love with her and was determined to marry her. He sent word home that he was going to bring a new queen to Bamborough Castle. Well, Princess Margaret was not very glad to hear that there was going to be a new queen and someone to replace her mother, but she did not repine. She did as her father asked, and made everything ready for their return. And on the day of the arrival, she went down to the castle gate, holding the keys to hand over to her new stepmother. And the party approached, noble horses, flags flying, and bells jingling. And they reached the gates, and Princess Margaret bowed low, and she said, "Welcome home, father, to your halls and bowers, and welcome to you, my new stepmother. All that is here is yours." And she bowed low and held out the keys, blushing and staring at the ground. And one of the knights who had accompanied the new queen called out, "Surely there is none so fair as this northern princess." The queen cried out, blushing herself, "You might have at least accepted me in such praise." And she muttered to herself, "I'll soon put an end to your beauty." Well, later that night, the queen, who was a noted witch, made her way down to a lonely dungeon, and there she cast her magic. And with spells 3 times 3 and passes 9 times 9, she cast Princess Margaret under her spell. I weird you to be a laidly worm, and borrowed shall you never be, until Child Wind shall return and give you kisses three. Until the ending of the world, borrowed shall you never be. And so the Lady Margaret went to sleep a beauteous maiden and awoke a laidly worm. And when her maidens came to dress her in the morning, they found a hideous dragon coiled on the bed. And the dragon raised itself up and slithered towards them, but they ran away shrieking from the chamber. And the laidly worm crawled and crept and crept and crawled until it reached the rock or Hugh of Spindleston, and it coiled itself around the rock and lay there basking with its terrible snout in the air. Soon the country round about had reason to know of the laidly worm of Spindleston Hugh, for hunger drove the monster out from its cave, and it used to devour everything in its reach. So, at last, they went to a mighty warlock, who consulted his works and his familiar, and then he told them, the laidly worm is actually the Princess Margaret. She has been ensorcelled. And it is hunger that drives her forth so every day. This is what you need to do. Gather together 7 kine, and every day before the setting of the sun, take all the milk that they yield and put it in the trough beneath the Hugh, and the dragon will leave everybody alone. But if you would have her borrowed back to her natural shape, and she who cast the spell revenged upon, then you must send for her brother, Child Wind, far away across the seas. Well, the people did as he bid. They put aside 7 kine and gathered all the milk that they yielded and placed it in the trough beneath the Hugh, and the dragon troubled the countryside no more. And they sent a message across the sea to her brother, Child Wind, who, when he heard what had happened, was so outraged, he swore a mighty oath that he would save his sister and be revenged upon her who had cast the spell. And 33 of his most noble knights swore the vow as well. They set to work and built a longship, and its keel they made out of the rowan tree, which has magical properties. And when all was ready, they out with their oars, and they pulled sheer for Bamborough Keep. But as they got near the keep, the stepmother felt by her magic power that something was being wrought against her. So she summoned her familiar imps and said, Child Wind is coming over the seas. He must never land. Raise storms or bore the hull, but no how must she touch the shore. Then the imps went forth to meet Child Wind's ship. But when they got near, they found they had no power over it, for its keel was made of the rowan tree. So back they came to the witch queen, who then knew not what to do. She ordered her men-at-arms to resist Child Wind if he should land near them, and by her spells she caused the laidly worm to wait by the entrance of the harbour. As the ship came near, the worm unfolded its coils and, dipping into the sea, caught hold of the ship and banged it off the shore. 3 times Child Wind urged his men to row on bravely and strong, but each time the laidly worm kept it off the shore. Then Child Wind ordered the ship to be put about, and the witch queen thought that she had won and he had given up the attempt. But he had only rounded the next point and landed safe and sound in Boodle Creek. And then with sword drawn and bow bent, he rushed up, followed by his men, to fight the horrible worm that had kept him from landing. But the moment Child Wind had landed, the witch queen's power over the laidly worm was gone, and she went back to her bower all alone, not an imp, not a man at arms to help her. So when Child Wind came rushing up to the laidly worm, it made no attempt to stop him. And he raised his sword to slay it. The voice of his own sister Margaret came from its jaws saying, Oh, quit your sword, unbend your bow, and give me kisses 3, for though I am a poisonous worm, no harm I'll do to thee." Well, Child Wynne was perplexed at such a thing, and he lowered his sword arm, but didn't know what to do next. And then the great worm spoke again, still with his sister's voice, and she said, "Oh, quit your sword, unbend your bow, and give me kisses three. If I'm not one ere set of sun, one never shall I be." So Child Wynne went up to the dragon, and he kissed it once. Nothing happened. He kissed it again. Yet nothing happened again. And he kissed it a third time. And with a hiss and a roar, the Laidly Worm reared back. And then, before Child Wynne, stood his own sister Margaret, restored to her proper shape. He wrapped his cloak around her. And together they went up to the castle with all his men. And when he reached the keep, he went off to find the witch queen, who was huddled, fearful, in her own bower. And he went into the chamber, and he reached out and he touched her with a twig of the rowan tree. And with a hiss and a croak, she shriveled up and shriveled up until she became a huge, ugly toad with bold, staring eyes and a horrible hiss. She croaked and she hissed, and then she hopped away down the castle steps. And Child Wynne and Margaret were reunited with their father, and they lived happily for a long time afterwards. And in due course, Child Wynne became king. Now, if you go to Bamborough Keep these days, there's not much to see of the old castle. It's mostly a ruin. But people do say that if you go by Spindleston Heugh, overlooking the sea, sometimes, just sometimes, they have reported seeing a large, ugly, hissing, Laidly toad.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Tír na n Og Retirement Community. You've worked hard all your life, often putting others before yourself. You've taken the one ring to be destroyed, or carried your friend who in the end couldn't bring himself to do it. You've plowed the fields and made your last loaf of bread. It's time to treat yourself at Tír na n Og Retirement Community. Years will fall from you, making you feel like your young self again. There are no nurse ratchets or doctor deaths here at the community. No bad-tasting food, just the elixirs of life, nectar of the gods, soft, comfortable clothing, and maybe you'll be reunited with those you love most. Or you'll find your true love here, if that has thus far eluded you. When you're done aging, treat yourself to a rest forevermore. Head down to Tír na n Og Retirement Community for your happy ever after. The podcast has a new review titled, Best Way to Spend an Afternoon, 5 stars by Jess Wizardry, who writes, I absolutely love this podcast. Traditional stories and storytellers bring out the best of the imagination, and everyone on here is wonderful. The fairy tale sponsors are hilarious as well. Please give it a try and you won't regret it. Thank you, Jess Wizardry, for your kind review, and I'm so glad you're enjoying the podcast. For those who haven't left a review yet, well, it takes a few minutes, and then your name will be immortalized upon the airwaves of the pod universe. So maybe give it a try. I tried to get my sandaled foot to touch the ground. I put all my weight over to my right side and hopped. I felt a spring and then wobbled a bit as I almost fell over. I glanced around. The shop owner was helping someone else. I pulled off my left shoe and wiggled into the other sandal. When I stood, I was a few inches taller. Bouncing a bit, I willed the sandals to take me a bit higher and almost shouted out loud when I was just above the clothing racks. I looked in the mirror. Still, just air beneath my feet. I willed the sandals to bring me back down, and when I was close enough to the ground, I slipped them off. I looked at the branding. Hermes Air were the makers. I bought them for $12 and walked out with a lightness in my step. Where should I float to first? The second teller for this episode is Harvey Heilbrun. Harvey's energetic and imaginative performances engage young and old in the art of oral tradition. He spins folktales, sings, plays guitar, and breathes life into the imagination of the listeners. And he is a patron of the arts and this podcast. This tale is a little luck and a little being clever in Three Hairs from the Head of the Devil.
I am ready to tell a story.
We are listening.
A long time ago, there was a boy who was born to a poor couple. Now he had a caul on his head, which is a kind of membrane when he was born. And that was good because that meant that he was going to have good luck. As a matter of fact, it was foretold that when he turned 14, he would marry the princess. Now the king heard about this. And the king was not happy about this. No, he didn't want this to happen. So he got on his horse and he rode until he came to the poor couple's house. And he offered them much money for their child. And they thought about it for a while. Should we give up our child? But they said, he's going to be a good luck child. Maybe that's what was meant for him to be. And they gave the king the child. And the king put the child inside a basket, put it on his horse and rode off. But he didn't get very far till he came to a large river, and he took that basket with the baby in it and threw it into the river. Ah, that'll take care of any unsuitable groom for my bride, he said. Well, that basket didn't sink in the river. It floated down the river, and it came ashore right where a miller was doing his work. And he saw the basket, and he went in to see what that basket was. And he pulled the basket out, and he brought it back and looked inside and was amazed to find the baby. And he went back and told it to his wife and said, look what God has brought us. We have a child. And they raised that child as their own. Now that child grew, and he got older and older, and he was just about 14 years old when the king came traveling through that part of the land. And he stopped in at the mill and was attended to by the boy. And the king was very impressed with this boy. And he asked the miller about their son. And the miller said, well, he's sort of our son. We adopted him. And they told him the whole story about how they found the boy. And the king immediately knew who this boy was. Said, I tell you what, could that boy bring a message from me to the queen? I will pay you a gold sovereign for it. And they said, sure he can. And the king hastily wrote a note that said, when this boy arrives, have him killed and have it done before I get back. And they gave the letter to the boy. And the boy went. And on his travels, he lost his way in the woods and it was beginning to rain. And he looked ahead and there was this cabin in front of him and the cabin had lights on, so he went up to the cabin and knocked on the door. And an old woman opened the door and said, may I help you? I come with a letter for the queen, he said, but I am tired and it is raining and I need a place to sleep. I would like to sleep here if that would be okay with you. And she said, you can't sleep here. This is the house of robbers. If they come back and see you here, they will kill you. And the boy said, I don't care. I need my rest, it's raining, and I must deliver this letter. And he walked right in, and he found a corner, and he fell asleep. Well, a short time later, the robbers, they came home, and they marched through the door. Good day to... Who is that boy?
He is a messenger. He was carrying a letter to the queen, and I took pity on him. He just needs to rest.
He needs to be killed. That's what he needs to be. He knows where we are.
They went over to him and they grabbed the letter and they opened up the letter and read it. And the robbers, they took pity on him too. They took the letter and rewrote it. They wrote, when this boy arrives, have him marry the princess. They folded it up, gave it back to him. And in the morning they directed him on how to go to the queen and he went off on his way. Well, when he got to the queen, he handed her the letter. She read it,
and did exactly what the king said in it. She married him to the princess. When the king came back and found this out, you think he was a happy man? He was not a happy man. He was a very angry man, and he called the boy to him and said, "Before you can have my daughter as your bride, you must bring me back 3 hairs from the head of the devil." And the boy said, "I can do that, and I will do it right now so I can win back my bride." And off he went. And as he was going down the road, he came to the gates of a city, and a guardsman at the city stopped him and said, "Who are you and what do you know?" And the boy said, "I know everything." "Oh, if you know everything, then tell me this. In the middle of our town, there is a tree that used to have apples of pure gold. Now it doesn't even have a leaf. It has nothing. Why is that so?" And the boy said, "I will tell you on my return." And he went on. He came to the gates of another town, and the guardsman there stopped him and said, "Who are you, and what do you know?" And the boy said, "I know everything." "Ah, if you know everything, then tell me this. In the center of our town, there is a fountain, and that fountain used to flow with wine. Now it's dry, it flows with nothing. Why is that so?" And the boy said, "I will let you know when I return." And he went on. Soon he came to a great big lake, and he knew on the other side was the island where the devil lives. And there was a ferryman, and he got on the ferry boat to go to the other side. And while he was on that boat, the ferryman asked him who he was and what he knew. And the boy said, "Why, I know everything." "Well, if you know everything," he said, "then tell me this. Why must I ferry back and forth and back and forth all the time? Is there no hope for my release?" And the boy said, "I will let you know when I come back." And he went on. Soon he came to the house of the devil, and he got to the door and knocked, and the devil's grandmother opened the door and said, "Yes, can I help you? I've come to get 3 hairs. And she told her the whole story. 3 hairs from the head of the devil to win back my bride. And I have these 3 questions I need the answers to. There is a town that has a tree that used to have apples of pure gold. Now it has no apples. Why is that so? And there is another town that has a fountain that used to flow with wine. And now it has nothing. Why is that so? And the 3rd question is the ferryman that brought me here. Is there no hope for his release? Must he go back and forth and back and forth forever?" She says, "Those are very tough questions. But if you will listen carefully, I will help you get the answer." And so saying, she turned the boy into an ant. She took that ant and put it in the folds of her gown and went in and waited. The devil came home and said, "Ah, I smell the blood of a human." And the grandmother said, "You always have the smell of human up your nose. Sit down and have your supper." And he had his supper. "Now lie down and have some sleep." And he rested his head on her lap, and she stroked his head until very soon the devil was asleep. And no sooner had he fallen asleep than she plucked out the 1st hair from his head. "Well, woman, what have you done?" "It was a dream," she said. "I had a dream." "What was your dream?" he said. I had a dream about a town, and in the town there was this tree, and the tree had apples of pure gold. And now it has nothing. Why is that happening?" And the devil said, "There is a mouse in the ground that is eating at the roots. If you get rid of the mouse, the tree will bloom again. Now leave me alone, woman." And he rested his head again, and she calmly got him to go to sleep again. Well, he hadn't gotten long when he fell asleep, when she plucked the 2nd hair from his head. "Oh, woman, what are you doing?" I had another bad dream," she said. "What was your dream this time?" "There's a town with a fountain, and in that fountain it flowed with wine. Now it doesn't flow with anything. Why is that so?" "There is a toad under a spring that leads to the wine. If you get rid of the toad, the wine will flow again. Now leave me alone, woman, or I will beat you." And he rested his head again, and she got him to go to sleep. Well, no sooner had she gone to sleep that she plucked the 3rd hair from his head. Oh, woman, bad dreams, bad dreams. I can't do anything about bad dreams, she said. What was the dream? Our ferryman that goes back and forth and back and forth. Is there any way that you can get him to release him? All he has to do is place that pole in someone else's hand, and they will be forced to take his place. Well, she had gotten the three answers to the question, and she calmed him down, and he slept through the night. The next morning after he had left, she took the ant out from the folds of her dress and turned it back into the boy and handed him the three hairs. And he thanked her and told her that he remembered the answers to those questions. And he went on his way home. When he got to the ferry and was on the ferryman asked him, well, what's the answer to my question? And he said, I will tell you when we get to the other side. When he got to the other side, he told him, all you need do is put your pole into the hand of someone else and they must take your place. And he went off. When he got to the town where the fountain was and the guard asked him what was the answer, he said, there is a toad under a spring that leads to it. If you remove the toad, the wine will flow again. And it was done. And no sooner had it been done than wine began to flow through the fountain. They were so thankful that they gave him two donkeys that were laden with barrels of gold. And he took those donkeys and he came to the other town where the guardman asked him, what's the answer to my question? And he said, the tree, there is a mouse nibbling at the roots. You remove the mouse, the tree will bloom again. And the order was given. And no sooner had it been done than the tree bloomed again with apples of pure gold. Now the town folks, they were very pleased, and they too gave him two donkeys that were laden with barrels of gold. So now he walked back to his own kingdom. And there was the king, and he walked up to the king and said, here are three hairs from the head of the devil. The king wasn't looking at him. All the king saw were those four donkeys laden with barrels of gold. And he said, oh, thank you very much. The gold. Where did you get all that gold? And the boy said, there's this beach that I went to that was covered with gold. There was gold everywhere. You could take as much of it as you wanted. All you need to do is go to this ferryman and he will take you across. And there, you can get all the gold you want. Well, the king didn't waste a minute. He jumped on his horse and he rode as fast as he could to the ferryman. And as soon as he got on the ferryman's ferry, what did the ferryman do? He put the pole in the king's hand and he left. And to this day, as far as I know, that king is still going back and forth and back and forth on that island. As for the boy and his bride, they ruled well, because everything must go well for someone who can conquer a kingdom and get three hairs from the head of the devil.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Danita Feldman and Harvey Halpern on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can find me and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor was Orla McGovern. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was my recent trip to Stone Soup Storytelling Festival in Woodruff, South Carolina. If you're near there next year at this time, you should come see the storytelling. You might see some familiar storytellers on stage. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. If you'd like to become a supporter of the podcast or discover sponsorship opportunities, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com. If it isn't in the cards to support the podcast right now, no worries. Perhaps you'd be willing to go write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Head over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you'll hear more stories next week. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs. so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.